Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, July the 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. Now, normally on Thursdays, we have with us our good friend, but he's on assignment today. He will be with us tomorrow, Friday, to discuss the subject. But right now, Wes is on assignment, and so I'm Tom Baker. I'm here all alone. What do we want to talk about today? Well, here's the subject. There must be a reason that God spared Trump's life. Yes, we live in a time when politics in America are becoming more violent by the day, and it is incumbent upon every one of us to pray for our elected officers. There must be a reason God spared Trump's life. Well, we need to remember what we witnessed in Butler, Pennsylvania was horrific. And we certainly grieve over the death of Corey Comparastor, a dedicated husband and father of two daughters. He actually used his body to protect them from the bullet that killed him. We're also praying for a full recovery for two spectators who remain in critical condition in the hospital. Imagine if the 20-year-old gunman, Thomas Crooks, had succeeded in killing Trump. Things would understandably be far different. But we are thankful to God that Trump's life was spared. In fact, many allies and even Democrats had come out embracing divine intervention to help explain how Donald Trump survived a harrowing assassination attempt in Pennsylvania. Within hours of nearly losing his life, Donald Trump came out and vocalized to the American people on Truth Social, quote, "God alone who prevented the unthinkable from happening." The former president told a media outlet, "The most incredible thing was I happened to not only turn my head, but turn it at the exact right time and in just the right moment." He went on to add, "I'm supposed to be dead. I'm not supposed to be here." In fact, if you've been watching television, they had examples of the bullet going past his head. And had he not turned his head, it would have hit him in the skull rather than glanced off his ear. Senator Marco Rubio, Republican from Florida, recently shared a photo on X of a bloodied President Trump, which has garnered attention. He tweeted, "God protected President Trump." I can't speak for everyone, but I'm inclined to agree with Senator Rubio and others on this. I have been talking to one individual who said, yes, I believe that God was involved in saving President Trump. And I said, well, of course, because God is involved in saving anyone and helping anyone. You cannot get up in the morning and walk around without God's providence. He allows you to do that. There are many people who do not have the ability to walk around or to speak, or they may be blind, they may be lame, they may be mute. That's all due to God's providence. Also, we have to see that there is a picture of a bullet whizzing within mere centimeters of Trump's head. So we cannot but believe there must be a reason why God spared his life. From the founding of America to its present day, God's divine guidance has steered the course of events, protecting and preserving those who seek his favor. This enduring providence, a cornerstone of faith, manifests in remarkable ways, often offering protection, wisdom, and strength. And that's all from the Holy Spirit. When we talk about God's providence, we're talking about his absolute control and guidance over everything, making sure that his plans are carried out, even though the actions of flawed human leaders are taking place. Now, I don't think anyone can honestly tell you the reason why God providentially intervened to spare Trump's life, but it's clear that he did. When God intervenes in such a public way, it's usually the way of telling or reminding of us he's in charge and is using certain people to advance his purposes on earth. One of the most straightforward illustrations of divine providence is found in the life of the prophet Daniel. Exiled to Babylon, Daniel remained steadfast in his faith, and God elected him to a position of significant influence. Even when facing the threat of the lion's den, the Lord miraculously intervened to protect his faithful servant. I want to clarify that we're not drawing a direct comparison between Trump and the prophet Daniel. But just as God's providential hand was publicly displayed in Daniel's life, so too was God's protection over Trump televised to the world. Harper's Bible Dictionary states that the providence of God is not a principle of orderliness or reason. Rather, providence is the will of the Creator, who is actively involved in moving his creation to a goal. I believe that God is actively involved in Trump's life, as he is actively involved in the life of every Christian. And he's using him to accomplish specific goals for America. Now, that does not mean God approves of Trump's every thought, belief, or action. It means God can and often uses the most unlikely people and circumstances to accomplish his divine purpose. So you may be in disagreement with a number of Trump's specific points, but you need to take a look at the big picture to see, is it going to be a better government under Trump or under Biden, if Biden is going to continue in running for office? Even though America's future seems uncertain, we can find comfort in knowing that a loving and all-powerful God is still guiding and performing miracles. We may not know every reason God operates the way he does, but you can trust him. Let's keep on praying for the healing of our nation and for the brave men and women who work every day to ensure our security and safety. We live in a time in which politics are becoming more violent by the day, and it's incumbent upon every one of us to pray for our elected officials and work toward uniting Americans around the principles that have built and made our nation so great. Yes, what we witnessed in Butler, Pennsylvania was horrific. We grieve over the loss of a dedicated husband and father as he protect his wife and children. Yes, things would be different if Thomas Crooks had succeeded in killing Trump. But, as we well know, he did not. And it was, as many will suggest, a miracle. As a bullet whizzed past his head, injuring only his ear. We can't speak to everyone, but I'm inclined to agree that it was God's purpose that Trump would continue to live. After watching the footage multiple times and closely examining what had happened, the enduring providence of God is a reminder to our faith that he promises to watch over us. Now we know the husband and father who did die from a bullet immediately went to heaven because he was a Christian, and his wife courageously spoke of her husband's faith. So, We don't know all the reasons why God providentially intervened to save Trump's life, but it's clear that he did. If he didn't, who did? Do you think it was the devil's will that Trump would be saved? No, of course not. So, we want to clarify that though, when we think of Daniel, there's a lot of similarities between the way God took care of him and the way he took care of Trump. But whether Trump is like Daniel in all things, no, we don't believe that. He maybe has views that even Trump, that even Daniel would disagree with. But we do believe that God is actively involved in saving Trump's life and using him to accomplish God's goals for America. That does not mean that God approves of Trump's every thought, belief, or action, but it means God can and often uses the most unlikely people and circumstances to accomplish his divine purpose. Take a look at the disciples of Jesus. Boy, there were a number of times that Jesus did not agree with their individual thoughts. They didn't want him talking with children. They didn't want him talking with older women. They didn't want him to go to Jerusalem to die. In fact, what did Jesus say to Peter when Peter said, "No, if you go to Jerusalem, we'll take care of you"? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." It wasn't until the resurrection that the disciples recognized that Jesus was more than a human being. He was God himself. And yet, he had protected the disciples in a number of situations. Remember the storm on the Sea of Galilee? They thought they were going to drown. Jesus stood up in the boat and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind and the wave were stilled. But even at that time, the disciples still couldn't figure out that Jesus was not only human, he was also God. They wondered, who is this man? If you look in the Old Testament, only God had power over the wind and the wave, the Red Sea, and crossing the Jordan. So it took some time for the disciples to come to a proper understanding of who Jesus was. That occurs among Christians. That's why it's so important for Christians to attend worship, because in worship, through the liturgy, the Bible readings, the sermon, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, you begin to learn much more who Jesus truly is and understand that everything in your life is directed by Him. You will not be put into a position where you wonder what's going on, because God is keeping His promise. He keeps His promise to every person who trusts in Jesus as their Savior, which means they believe His promises, especially the promise from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Yes, we may have views and ideas, even contrary to God, but under the gift of the forgiveness of sins, those views are not counted against us. We are saved from them, because that's what Jesus did on the cross when He said the words, "It is finished." And it was finished. It was finished because the work He had come to do, guided by the Father and the Holy Spirit, was completed. And He died for the people. That's the message of Christianity. That's the good news. That's what happens to those who trust in Jesus. So the task of the church, the task of the Christian, is to help people come to an understanding of who Jesus is. And the best way to do that is by telling them what Jesus says. That is what God the Father said on the Mount of Transfiguration. Listen to Him. That's what a sermon is doing. It's listening to Jesus and giving Him all credit for our salvation. It's a difference between law and gospel. There is no way that by our works we can save ourselves. But because our works always fall short of the glory of God, but the works of Jesus did not fall short of the glory of God. And we are saved by the works of Jesus, dying on the cross, sacrificing Himself for our sins, so that heaven is our home. That's the good news that every Christian has, including the promises to watch over our life and take care of us. How many times have soldiers or firemen been protected from death by Jesus? And when they are not, oftentimes, because of their faith in the words of Jesus, they are taken to heaven. Heaven is their home. That's the promise of Jesus. It's a promise because He paid for our sins. He was the one who stood in our place to sacrifice and receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins, which means God no longer holds you accountable for your sins. Why? Because he held Jesus accountable. That is clear from the message on the cross. Jesus is the one who died so that you will never really die, as he told Martha when he went to raise Lazarus from the dead. So also, when he raises every Christian from the dead, he does so with the promise of the forgiveness of sins and heaven as their home. What better promise can be found than from the words of Jesus? For when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That meant that God would never forsake his people. You are his people. Heaven is your home. We thank God that the life of Trump was not taken, and we look forward to see how God might use him. More on this on tomorrow's Law and Gospel. Until then, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.